From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of September, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, delegates to the Republican National Convention have passed a party plank calling for the repeal of the renewable fuel standards. When you're set in the heartland of America, there isn't really any reason to give you another news item. Dave Dickey will have details shortly. And then we'll get Daryl Good's estimate of the land war many assume will be coming again this fall as the Chicago commodities battle for acres. That all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the nearby. September wheat futures settled at 729 and three quarters, down 25 and a half cents. December at 751 and a half, 25 and a half lower. And the March contract at $7.74 and three quarters, down 26 cents. September corn futures, 531 and a half, 17 and three quarters lower. December at 548 and a half, down 16. And the March corn at 567 and a quarter, down 16 cents. May futures, 16 cents lower at 579 and one quarter. September soybeans, $11.80, down 54. November down 58 at 1177. And January at 11.93 and three quarters, down 58 and one quarter. March contract in the bean pit, $12.06 and three quarters, down 57 and three quarters. September bean meal futures, $341, $14.40 lower. September bean oil at $48.18, down $1.35. October live cattle futures today at $102.95 or 35 lower. December at $104.95, down 35 cents. And the September feeders at 111, 12 and a half were up 35 today. October contract at 110, 67 and a half, 30 cents higher. October lean hog futures settled at 69, 42 and a half, 40 cents higher, but the Decembers were down 22 and a half cents today. December lean hogs at $68.17 and a half cents, 100 weight in Chicago at the Mercantile Exchange. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on a Friday afternoon. Numbers in the crude oil, October at $106 a barrel now, down $1.89. November at $106.70, down $1.74. October ethanol at $2.17, 7 2/10 of a cent lower. Natural gas at $7.44 and 2/10, up 12 cents. And the RBOB gasoline is trading at $2.68 and 6/10, down 5 4/10. Heating oil, diesel fuel, $2.98 and 3/10, down 4 cents. And the October propane did not trade but settled at $1.65. Gold futures are currently trading at $797.60 an ounce. They're down 30 cents for the day, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,215. It's up just about 27 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar currently trading at 78.88 is up 0.05 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight in southeastern Indiana it will be cloudy, a few scattered showers, elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 50 in northwestern Illinois to 63 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, highs will range from 72 in the north to 82 in the far south, says Ed. The extended forecast calls for showers and thunderstorms arriving in northern and west central Illinois on Sunday. But Ed says the rain will hold off in most areas until Sunday night or Monday. Showers and thunderstorms should become more widespread on Sunday night into Monday and Monday night. That rain will be in association with a rather significant cold front. Dry and seasonable cool weather expected Tuesday and early Wednesday, with high temperatures in the upper 60s and 70s. And lows in the 40s and the 50. More on the weather after the bottom of the hour.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on a Friday afternoon to take a look at the commodities markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I want to jump right into not just what happened today, but how things look for the trade on the week. But because it was actually pretty ugly if you were in the bean pit and you wanted things to go higher. It went sharply lower. We broke through the $12 mark. We managed, I think, in at least the new crop, if not the lead option, to put in a new lower low for this last move. So we have a new either a pre-harvest low or harvest low, one of the two. September's were off $1.52 this week. November's were off $1.47. What'd you make of it all?
Well, if you go back to last week's commodity week, we kind of joked, and it was truly a joke. All three of the panelists and the guests were all pretty doggone friendly, the row crops especially, going into the beginning of the week. And I figured up if you would have heeded our recommendation and bought a contract of corn, beans, and wheat and held that all the way through this week's close, you would have lost about $2.33 and had over an $11,500 loss. And I don't bring that up because I'm excited about that. I bring it up because I think when I was driving home that night after the taping, I thought, you know, we all were so focused upon the row crop micro fundamentals, not the big picture macro fundamentals as much, because we had thought that maybe things were calming down. I remember me specifically talking about how the banking index and the S&P 500 as a whole and the Dow AIG commodity index were looking much better at the end of last week than they did the prior week, and that indeed is true. But looking at it today, they look much, much weaker, all three of them, than they did last Friday. And so this vacillation, this working lower of prices is just pure and simple. It's trading psychology based upon these outside markets. And, you know, there are some tangible issues going on out there. The European Common Bank came out and said, look, we're not going to lend you money, you investment banks, as easily as we were planning on lending it to you, because you're not going to be able to use certain asset-backed securities, certain bonds. You're not going to be able to use those as collateral. And that, I think, really did institute some fear in the fund industry and the hedge fund industry. We got the Osprey Fund midweek that liquidated, Todd, and then we got word that maybe an Atticus Capital Fund was liquidating. That has not been confirmed at all yet, but the whole big picture snowball effect from the outside markets were really hitting us hard. And then you throw on top of that the Informa and FC Stone estimates, and they're coming out with bigger estimates than USDA's August numbers for corn and beans. And so you're sitting there saying to yourself, if you're short and you've got the outside markets crumbling and you've got that momentum out there, why should I cover my short a full week ahead of the USDA report if the private estimates so far are more bearish and bigger than what they were in August? So I think that sums it up, and, you know, it's 100% hindsight, though.
Maybe we better take up this Informa number that was released, I think, today yet. 156.5 bushels to the acre on the national average. That's up from the USDA's number pretty sharply, what, a bushel and a half or something along those lines.
Right.
They're looking for a 12.406 billion bushel yield. And that's 118 million bushels above USDA's August estimate. Their estimate for soybeans now at 3.035 billion bushels, 63 million above the August prediction from USDA. Also 450 million above last year, yield expected at 41.4. That's just slightly above USDA's August estimate. I'm surprised, I guess, that beans have been so weak in this particular week, because most people have really thought that this was the crop that had a great deal of potential to move higher based on what's been happening in the U.S. fields.
Well, I think that's right, and I think it goes back to those micro fundamentals. We talked about it on the commodity week. It sounds like that instead of the trade a week ago, thinking we were closer to 150 bushel to the acre on corn and maybe just under, if not a full bushel under, 40 bushel to the acre on beans, the trade has now readjusted itself and said, okay, supply side, we can't do any better than the mid-150s based upon these estimates in corn, and we really could see an actual increase in the yield by USDA. And we remarked about that on the program last week, but, you know, I don't think that we really took it that seriously because USDA did such strange things to the corn number in August. You know, we are fearful that they'll do something strange, meaning bearish to the beans. But the corn number especially was a surprise for both these private firms in our book and in our opinion. So, but it does draw back to the idea that if supply in the trade mind is not falling faster than the demand, and the trade believes demand is getting hit because of this weakening global economy and the funds letting go, you've got a pretty big issue coming out. And then, you know, one of the guys that I always listen to, I think the financial markets really listen to, is the big bond trader, Bill Gross from PIMCO. He came out yesterday and said, I'm worried about a financial tsunami, quote-unquote, if the central banks of the world don't come in and shore up our credit markets again. And I think the impression was we're getting through the worst of it right now. We should be on the tail end of it and improving here as we get into the fourth quarter. His comments just dashed that hope, I think. It certainly did in my mind anyway.
Well, some interesting things happening, and maybe you can help us put it in perspective. I know you've done a pretty decent job of this so far, but when we look out to next year, even if we get the numbers that that Informa is saying and USDA comes out with bigger numbers along with that, we're still very short on both corn and beans in the carryout. Beans are relatively close to what we're doing at this point. And corn down, I don't know, we were at 1.1, so maybe 1.2 billion bushels, but we're at 1.5 coming in to this end of the growing, to this end of the marketing year. So is it just all about the outside markets at this point? And when and if will the focus shift to the 2009 crop? And if it does, will it make that much of a difference?
Well, good questions. I think first, I think after seeing what we've seen here this week and the technical damage we've done and the fact the psychology's moved so dramatically negative now, I think we really are at a point now where next Friday's report, we must have the USDA numbers on the side of refocusing the market's attention back on the micro fundamentals of corn and beans supply and demand. We absolutely need that, in my opinion, in our opinion here at RMC. I think secondly, going back to the 09 question, we talked about this in Commodity Week and asked our guests, and I specifically asked, we've got the CRP, we've got the acreage on our side, on the bullish side, but do we have the funds on our side? And the conclusion at that time was, we don't know, but if the market trends again, the funds will come back. Well, after going to Chicago this week and spending all day on Wednesday talking to 12 to 15 different people, some in the fund market and some in dealing with large commercials, I think it's safe to say the funds will not be back in the gunslinger style where they'll come in and buy commodities no matter what it is. They'll have to come in and be more precise, be more surgical, buy those commodities that are better in terms of supply and demand fundamentals, and they'll get more individualistic and rely less upon commodities as a whole for a way to invest. So that means to us that, yeah, we've got some acreage friendliness in 09, but we also probably have some fund bearishness in 09, and that could get more and more bearish as this next few weeks progress. I suspect that by the end of the third quarter, which is the end of this month, we'll have a pretty good idea of how many hedge funds and how many commodity funds are going to be turning in the keys and liquidating and sending money back. And so I don't want to sound too bearish here because I really think the crop is not there, but I think the point we're trying to convey to clients and farmers is we got to be right on this now. We've got to have USDA on our side. It's kind of like when we talked about a 93 market earlier this year and an 03 market earlier this year. We got to get that cash market and that supply side back on our side for corn and beans to fight these outside pressures.
One final question. Did you just tell me that the funds had gotten whipsawed so much as they went into this marketplace that they're chicken to get back in?
Yes, that's exactly what I found out, and that is my opinion at this point, Todd, is that they are not used to taking losses, and they are not used to having to put money in the kitty and not have to play off leverage. And I think those are the major issues that have changed the whole complex of this trade, and that's something that won't, you know, change very soon here.
Well, welcome to Chicago, baby.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mike Azuzalo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
If you'd like to hear that conversation again, you can do it at willag.org. You can hear Dave Dickey there, too. He's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, delegates at the just-ended Republican National Convention have passed a party plank calling for the repeal of the renewable fuel standard. The text reads, "The U.S. government should end mandates for ethanol and let the free market work." Some analysts say the plank is an attempt for GOP presidential candidate John McCain to distance himself from the Bush administration, a big supporter of ethanol. Matt Hartwig, spokesperson for the Renewable Fuels Association, called the move to repeal the RFS, quote, inconceivable. Members of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association in attendance at the Republican National Convention expressed disappointment, as did the National Corn Growers Association in a statement last night. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission says it's investigating energy markets. The CFTC says it has suspicions that energy market players are injecting false data into the marketplace in order to influence perceptions and crude oil supply and demand ratios. The CFTC is concerned that companies may be lying about their inventory levels in order to benefit from their own trading positions. USDA Chief Economist Joe Glauber is headed to Geneva in yet another effort to revise the dying Doha round of world trade talks. Glauber, who also serves as the U.S. Trade Representative's chief agricultural negotiator, will meet informally with WTO officials with a goal of bringing nations back to the negotiating table. Talks collapsed in July after the U.S. and India were unable to reach agreement on special safeguard mechanisms allowing developing countries to hike tariffs on surging farm imports. And a Western Australia farm lobby is renewing its call on state government to end a ban on genetically modified crops. The Pastoralists and Grazers Association says the GMO ban costs producers at least $150 million a year. The call comes after Australia Agriculture Minister Tony Burke suggested this week that adoption of GMO crops could help alleviate global food shortages. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
And thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. If you don't hear that program on your radio station, give them a call. They might just pick it up. Or you can listen to it anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. This week, the folks from the Hightower Report will join us for Commodity Week. It'll be posted on our website after 6 o'clock this evening. Now up next, price discovery for corn and soybeans this summer has been mostly tied, as you already know, to the weather and the size of the coming crops. Of course, that'll likely change as the combines roll and traders begin to focus on the number of acres each will be allotted for the next season. The trade is always concerned with the size of the U.S. corn and soybean crops and the number of acres of each farmer's plant. What it may have lost track of this year, says the lead economist from the U of I's FarmDoc website team, Daryl Good, is just how many extra crop acres farmers have managed to pull into use over the last two seasons.
I think the other thing the market has lost track of a little bit is that we have seen a fairly substantial increase in cropland acres here in the U.S. the past 2 years, not coming out of the CRP, but just with the high prices. We've motivated basically every available acre to be planted, and we've increased cropland acres about 4 million in each of the last 2 years. outside of the CRP, is there any room to increase acres any further in 2009? Probably not much. So there's going to be a real, I think, bidding war to some extent on cropland acres next year. I mean, it's relative prices that make a difference, but at the same time, prices have to stay high enough that we motivate every available acre to be planted.
So the price of grains and oilseeds are relative to the demand side of the equation, but the supply side, in this case the number of total available acres, will be the first fundamental factor laying out whether or not demand can be met. In the United States, it's not clear that there are any more acres to be added to the available pool of land beyond those in the USDA's Conservation Reserve Program. And to this point, the government has been unwilling to release those acres to be cropped. And the judiciary has moved to block those releases even if they're made available. It appears the 2009 commodity markets may be as unique as the 2008 season has been. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. We're joined on phone by Mark Lambert with the Illinois Corn Growers Association, based in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hi, Todd.
Just to have one quick question for you, simply because we heard today, and it's happened during the week, that the Republican National Convention approved a party platform that called for the repeal of the RFS. What's the corn growers' reaction in Illinois and across the Midwest?
Well, we're obviously pretty disappointed. From an Illinois standpoint, which is really the yard that we tend here, we've had pretty uniform support on both sides of the aisle on a number of issues, including RFS. So, we feel like we've done our job here, but that doesn't mean we're not going to try and influence this at the national level as well, because it's too important to our state. It's too important to our country. So we're pretty disappointed by it.
You'll be rallying the troops?
We are already and have been for several days now are working with our delegation to try and get to other people within the party to let them understand what a significant bungle this is. It's just an important issue. The good news is that, party platforms are just that. They're a platform that they write. It's a place to start. Oftentimes they write the things and they set them on the shelf, and I'm not sure they adhere to them very readily, especially on this issue. I mean, if you look at the RFS and the vote count on that from both Republicans and Democrats, there is very strong support throughout the Congress for expanding ethanol usage in this country. So I think if they, they're really serious about their platform, they have an issue.
Mark, I'm sure we'll talk with you again during the harvest season.
Appreciate it.
Thanks much.
Take care.
Mark Lambert is with the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Just a very quick word from a patiently waiting Bruce Bossert of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Bruce, I need two things. I need your numbers and what you think cash grain basis will do in 40 seconds.
Basis has been tending to tighten up. We're taking some carry out of the market as it looks like we're going to be in more and more of a better position to put this crop away and carry it forward and handle the crop. Cash numbers, we're at 505 on nearby corn and 1157 on nearby beans, 1097 new crop.
Thanks for your patience and for making way for Mark Lambert today.
No problem.
All right. Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joining us on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon to take a very short and quick look at the cash grain market in 2 minutes. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, should join us. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Tomorrow morning, the Raps come off a $121 million renovation at the University of Illinois' Memorial Stadium. Assistant Athletic Director Kent Brown says work is substantially complete in time for the first home football game for the Illini against Eastern Illinois. Crews spent 2 years gutting the stadium, adding a massive new set of skyboxes and a press area, as well as new restroom and food vendor facilities. But Brown says all the work did not hide the stadium's historical features, like the rows of colonnades. Brown says about 1,000 tickets remained for the game as of noon today. Federal officials say a radar communications problem at Chicago's O'Hare Airport is causing delays for some arriving flights.
Federal Aviation Administration spokesman Tony Molinaro says a radar problem involving a tower at O'Hare occurred late this morning. Officials switched to a secondary radar system in suburban Tinley Park while technicians worked to resolve a glitch. Molinaro says the problem was fixed around noon. It's unclear how many delays were caused by the radar glitch. Chicago's Department of Aviation didn't immediately return a phone call. While using the secondary radar system, fewer flights are allowed to arrive at O'Hare each hour. Governor Rob Blagojevich used his mandatory veto to alter a bill to bar state officials from accepting contributions from state and local government employees. Republican State Senator Larry Bomke says a ban on contributions to those holding or seeking statewide office may be proper, since they have the power to hire workers. But the head of a political reform group criticized Blagojevich for adding on to what had been a basic reform bill. Illinois is giving $2.2 million in rehabilitation grants to help 200 low-income homeowners pay for repairs and lower their utility bills. The governor's office says eligible homeowners will get up to $8,500 for energy conservation and repairs. And five U of I athletes are in Beijing for tomorrow's Paralympics. Some have been working with engineering students on ways to reduce wind resistance on their wheelchairs. Although none of the experiments will be used in competition next week, they hope the changes will help performance times eventually. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We have a special guest on the line from Minnesota with us this afternoon, farmer and former, and I don't know whether he's still president of the Minnesota Corn Growers or not, Kevin Papp, and listener to the station, joins us, called in on a short notice. Kevin, are you still president of the Minnesota Corn Growers or Minnesota Farm Bureau?
Farm Bureau, president of Minnesota Farm Bureau.
Well, tell me, how did everybody take this? I saw that there was a lot of money spent on at least one event that you folks hosted up there, something like $75,000, I think, that that the organizations hosted for the McCain and Republican National Convention, and I'll bet they weren't very happy.
Well, we had a great celebration of Minnesota agriculture, really Midwest agriculture. It was not only for the delegates, but for everyone, just to showcase all the good things agriculture is doing, how we're adding value not only to our farms, but our communities, whether it be renewable fuels, through livestock, the different value added. And quite honestly, a lot of people around Minnesota, they're kind of confused at the message. You know, renewable fuels, if we want to lessen our dependency on foreign oil, biofuels is the way to do it. And we certainly have been doing biodiesel and ethanol a long time in Minnesota, and we're a little confused where the platform is going.
Well, candidate McCain stood up twice, I know, in Iowa, and said he did not like some of what was happening with the RFS and that on the renewable fuel standard. Minnesota is a place where I think you have a 20% mandate, don't you, for fuels, biofuels?
Right now we have a 10% on ethanol. We're moving to 20% as soon as that's approved by EPA. We also have a 2% biodiesel that'll be moving to 5%. We're looking at that. It's very important for not only ethanol and biodiesel, but we're looking to the next generation. What's going to be the next generation of renewable fuels? And without the current renewable fuels there, we won't have that infrastructure, won't have that research to look at what is the next generation of renewable fuels.
And finally, what message did you send to the McCain and the Republican National Committee after this party platform was approved?
Well, the message we're sending and we're going to continue to send is renewable fuels are good. It's a way to add value. It's a way to add value to help with livestock, with the co-products. We've got to lessen our dependence on foreign oil. Renewable fuels, it's not the silver bullet, but it's a pretty important tool in the toolbox to help diversify our oil supply.
Maybe we can talk again in the future. Okay, Kevin?
Absolutely.
All right. Kevin Papp is a farmer, a listener to the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and the president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau joins us from his home state on the line with us from right here in the state of Illinois and the Illinois Water Survey. Midwestern Regional Climate Center to take a very quick look at the agricultural weather forecast and the rainfall, really, that we had overnight is Steve Hilberg. Tell me about it, Steve.
Hi, Todd. Well, Gustav did what the month of August could and brought us a lot of rain. It was a good soaking rain. It lasted all day, and it looks like most of Illinois picked up very close to what would normally get during the whole month of September. Basically, from along the Illinois River to about I-57, that whole corridor from St. Louis up through Chicago into Michigan got from 2 to 3 inches of rain or more yesterday, and then added some from the night before further south. And either side of that band was anywhere from a half inch to an inch and a half to 2 inches of rain. So pretty much everybody except some parts of southern Illinois got some really good soaking rain, and that's been a big help. It looks like we'll pick up some more rain maybe once or twice again this week as a couple of cold fronts come through, but it looks like no real hot weather on the way.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Todd.
That's the Closing Market Report.